So we are start today a series on spiritual warfare, okay? And will be 7 weeks. And today it's more an introduction what it is, spiritual warfare. But first of all, I need you to see what you think about it. What is your reaction when you hear these two words, spiritual warfare? What is your feeling? What come to your mind? Just something. What the first thing come to your mind? Spiritual warfare. Devils.
We are at war.
Huh?
We are at war.
We are in a war. Okay.
Weapons.
Stress.
Weapons.
Arush. What more? Scare. Yeah, it's sometimes I confess it's so complicated because we are humans and we don't see things. I know I have some stories, and maybe if I remember during the way I will share this, that's what happened with me. But let's start with a definition. What is spiritual warfare? Spiritual warfare is the unseen but real confrontation between God and his angels against Satan and his fallen angels. It is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. So this is a war. And because we belong, we are in the kingdom of God, we are targets from Satan, from the demons. Okay? He want destroy us. We are in a war, as you said. So, but when the team about spiritual warfare, we start to talk about, usually we have three group of people. Three groups, usually, okay? Or could be three perspectives, I don't know, but usually three. First of all, those who do not believe in the existence of the devil and his angels. So this group say the devil and the angels are a kind of literary tool. They're not real. It was something that the man created. It's a man creation. Example of that, it's Dr. Barry Bailey. I don't know if he's still pastor on the First United Methodist Church in Fort Worth, but in one sermon in 1981, he was preaching a sermon called The Devil and the Demonic. The Devil and the Demonic. And he was mentioning the Jesus encountered Satan in the wilderness. And what he says was, there was not a devil out there tempting him. That's silly. There never has been a devil. If you read it in one way, it is true that the Bible said the devil tempted Jesus. Therefore, when I tell you there is not a devil, it looks like I am disagreeing with the Bible. I am disagreeing with an interpretation of the Bible. There is no devil. There are no demons. There is not something out there grappling for your soul. There is just one God and one presence. Whatever bad or destructive that happens to you in life is either done by you, by someone else, caused by accumulation of events, or it's an accident. It is never done by God. Since there is not a devil out there, the devil cannot do it. Long time ago, really long time ago, probably more than 20 years, I was in the seminar and I was read one book. It's a classical book called The Screwtape Letters. I think most of you know about this. It's a C.S. Lewis book. And in the letter number 7, if you don't know this book, it's interesting to read. Okay, the background is the devil has, if I can remember, I think the devil has a nephew, And he, the devil, is write letters to him to help him to know how to tempt a man. Okay? His nephew, another demon, okay, if I can say a little demon, okay? So in this book, this devil is sending letters for this small demon to help him to understand how is the good strategy, how he can tempt the man. And the letter number 7, it's very interesting. The devil said to him, the guy, the small demon is Wormwood, and he said, I wonder, you should ask me whether it is essential to keep the patient is us, the patience in ignorance of our existence. That question, at least for the present phase of our of the struggle, has been answered for us by the high command. Our policy for the moment, it is to conceal ourselves. I do not think you have much difficulty in keep the patient in the dark. The fact that devils are predominantly comic figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begin to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade things. When it's too close to Portuguese, it's crazy for me. It's persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, it is an old textbook method to confusing them. Here, therefore, cannot believe in you. The one guy called Charles Baudelaire, a French poet born in 18th century, said, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade, you that he does not exist. We have so many people that just said, no, this is not true. This is one strategy of the devil. Because when you think that he is not real, you will be an easy target. There is a second group. The second group is those who underestimate the influence and attack of the devil and his angels. This group believe that the devil and his angels exist, but they believe that had no influence on mankind. So, and the truth is, if I look for myself, sometimes I'm like that. I live, but everything, my first idea, when something bad happens, my first idea is something natural happened. It's hard for me to understand, few times, I really, when a bad things happen, I think, oh, this was the devil. Few times. I had a cancer. When I was 25 years old. And even that time I didn't think could be or not. Even the possibility to be. Okay? So, what's happened is they cover their eyes for a spiritual realm. They tend to believe that everything has some natural cause, always forget the possibility of a spiritual attack from the enemy. So this is. We have the third group. The third group is the one that overestimates the influence of attack. Everything is demon. Can you see the extremes here? So both are danger. It's not good. So if I hear that a lot, like, okay, the car is broke. Oh, it's some demon. And start to pray for the demon in the car. The computer shut down. And you say, oh, there is the spirit of the computer there. You try to expel the demon inside the computer. And so, this is extreme. This is extreme. These three perceptions of spiritual warfare are a dangerous path. Deny the existence of the devil and his fellow angels is worse because we have to deny dozens of Bible verses that say that he is real. We cannot also underestimate or overestimate him, the influence of attack, because we will become or easy target or will live in fear. I cannot do anything because I can see demons around. And the truth is, it's real. It's real. There is a spiritual realm around us. And I remember that soon I arrived here, 12 years ago, I heard a story of a demon, a Kyrgyz demon, called Albastu. And maybe if you are here, you hear about that. And the story is this demon come and go on your chest and suffocate you when you are sleeping. And we have many cases, people shared this kind of experience. And in the Kyrgyz culture, they try to deal with that with different ways. In the culture, I think I remember one thing, that there is a kind of a knife you put under the pillow, something like that. There is a different kinds of way. Because, why that? It's because we are humans, and the spiritual realm, it's powerful. It's true, it's real. And we cannot deal with them by ourselves. And every culture, in Brazil, we have our own way to try to deal with that. And here, they deal with different way too. But we as believers, we have the power of the name of Jesus. We don't need to have to be scared. And I live in a house here, and some days I saw things and come, and you have to pray. Sometimes we cannot sleep. We feel like the darkness come over our bed. Something very, you cannot breathe. And you have to wake up. You have to pray. And this is real, guys. This is real. But you don't need to be afraid, because the demons and the devil, they can dance here, but they can touch us. They cannot touch me because of the blood of Jesus. I'm not saying that as we have, I know this because I am inside the culture in Brazil, we have the demons, what is it? Como é caça fantasma? Ghostbusters. Do you mean the Ghostbusters? In Brazil we have. If you see something strange, you have a group, we don't need to go there. We don't need to try to seek this kind of the confront. We don't need this. But if it happens, we have the power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't need to be afraid, because it's bigger what is in you than what is outside. But what the Bible really say about the devil? First of all, the devil is real, and his goal is to destroy the human race. Look for 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Look for someone to devour. It's what Peter say here. It's because in our life you have to walk, you have to live, but be alert. He can come anytime. So I have a dog, American Staff Terrier. It's close to pit bull. Okay, very close. It's a pit bull. And it's 1 month ago. We call Buffy. Buffy. Okay, so she's strong and very strong, and so I invited one guy to clean, to fix the roof. Okay, but I have to put, of course, she on the leash. But it was interesting. I look, because this guy was one hand here and one eye on her. I had to be, though, don't worry. She if I hear, she is fine. The problem is when I'm not here. So if I'm here, it's fine. But it's all the time he was working. Eh? Look, what I'm saying now is this is, should be our life. We don't need to be scared, but we need to be alert if something's happened. Because he is like a lion. I know, it's a lion without teeth. Okay? But it's a lion around us. He will try. He will try. But we have Jesus. We have the angels of God around us. But he is real. Second, the devil is a liar and a murderer. John 8:44 said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is not truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So he will try to deceive you in any way, so you need to be alert. The devil can hide or disguise his attacks. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15 says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of life. So it is the light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. The focus here was not about the devil, but isn't it the point here when Paul said it's even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He can change. Even he can come as a figure of a person to you. It's possible. He, remember, God. And the Bible said he is the God of the century. Okay, so he is real, he is still working, and he will try to destroy us. But what are the strategies of the devil to destroy us? Okay, look something what he does, some at least. First, demons tempt men to do evil. So, demons put evil suggestions into our minds. Look for John 13:2, when say, during supper, the devil have already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Satan is always alert. He is looking for a weak place in our lives. He will take advantage if we open some area of life. I know I have my weak spot and you have your weak spot. And he will try to exactly attack you on this point. Sometimes he can wait 6 months, 1 year, 2 years. I remember areas in my life where, you know, and 10 years ago, just for example, and you had a problem in one area, and to the power of Jesus, you strengthened this area, and you're still okay, I'm okay, and take 2 years, 3 years, and you start to think, I'm okay now. I'm done. And just like that, you fall. Because you think you can do it. Do you understand what I mean? It's all about Jesus. He never will stop to try attack you. And everyone has your weakness. And he will try to find you in your weakness. So we need to be alert. The devil aims to slay everything that is noble and decent and good in your life. So beware. Second here, demons try to confuse men with ideas, philosophies, and religions full of lies mixed with some truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that display the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you see here? The God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers. This is what the devil, the demon, tried to do. They try to make you, if you are here today and you don't have yet relationship with Jesus Christ, the demons will try to do everything to make you not to believe in Jesus, to try to put in your mind all kind of doubts. This is his work. We have so many. I was a spiritist in Brazil. Okay, I born Catholic because 48 years ago, Brazilian was a Catholic country in general. But with 15 years old, I start to go for a place where we talk with spirits. I have people who said, okay, I died 10 years ago, was an accident, and talk to me, and I sit and talk. It's kind of stuff that. And I was on that from 15 to 20 years. 20 years old. I was on, and I believe on that. And when you go for this place, the spiritism, it's like a church. And we have the leader here. And what he does, first thing, he opens the Bible. He reads Matthew. He reads, open. But how they call Jesus? Jesus is a spirit of light. Jesus is an example to be followed. But never they said, Jesus is the Savior. You need him to be saved. Can you see? So for you guys, I just remember that. How can you see if a church or a religion is real? Just make this question. Who is Jesus for you? Who is Jesus? If you read the book, ask, who is Jesus for this book? How does book present Jesus? If it's less than God, it's trash. It's not good. Run away. Because this is try to confuse you. Because if Jesus is only a spirit of light, example to be followed, we're done. But they do a very good job. They have so many orphanages. They have helped so many hospitals. They do a wonderful work. Better than many evangelicals. I know that. It's true. But behind that is we do because in the next incarnation, we will find a better place that never will come because this incarnation never will stop. I can say that because I was a spiritist and I know the theology inside. Okay. So, demons try to make the message of Jesus seem foolish, and by doing so, people do not believe in the gospel. Mark 4:15 says, some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and take away the word that was sown in them. So one more time, I preach the gospel here. I say you need Jesus. Pray now. Give your heart, give your life to Jesus right now. If you never came to Christ, I ask you, come now in your place where you are right now. Just close your eyes. You don't need even me. You don't need nobody. Just you and Jesus, and confess your sin and ask him to come to your heart. At that moment, you can see a voice that say, "Hey, this is not true. Hey, you can let for the next week. Hey, you have to think it through. Hey." It's not so like that. This is the seed that is in the Satan come and try to take out. Demons try to stimulate divisions, pride, selfishness, sexual immorality, enmity, and hatred among men. Demons are eager to promote an unforgiving spirit among us. They try to destroy us, make divisions among us. He'll try. He wants to divide us. He wants to divide families. The Bible says that a bitter and unforgiving spirit among fellow Christians is also demonic. It is of the devil and it's inspired by Satan. Satan delights in hearing us say unkind and critical things about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look for James 3:13-16. Who is wise and understand among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy, and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and ever evil practices. He will try to divide us. Satan tempts believers to commit sexual immorality. It's very interesting, this verse here, 1 Corinthians 7:5. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to pray. Then come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. In another verse, says I forgot the verse. What is here? They said, it's example. Husband and wife. They said, yeah, if you consent together, don't have a sexual relationship for a while, you can do it for pray. But this should be between you two. Okay, let's take this time for pray. But what the Bible says here, but don't take so much time. Because the devil will tempt. Sex is good and was created by God. Sex is not, some people, maybe because their own experience, try to avoid or scare or seeing something dirt or something that is only to make children. No. Sex is to bring pleasure for a husband and a wife. Sex was created to be enjoyed with the marriage covenant and between a man and his wife. But the devil continue using his power and control of the media to make our generation believe that there are no limits. Everything is possible in the name of love. Almost every soap opera in Brazil, almost every soap opera in Brazil, we see a man or a woman sleep with a man or woman that is not your wife or husband. Almost all TV shows in America now, we have homosexual couples there. Almost everyone. If you have Netflix, you just go around. Almost every TV show. Do you know what that is? They are put in the mind of our children and in our mind that everything is fine. Everything is okay in the name of love. And our kids start to think, oh, but the Bible says, what's the Bible? It's an old book. This is not true. And we need to open our minds. And you guys, teenagers, going to the college more than everyone here, you need to open our minds. Marriage is sacred. God created. Sex is to be done inside the marriage. Out of this, it's bad for you. Homosexual is wrong. And you can, not here, nobody will process me. But you can process me, but it's wrong. Because the Bible says so. And we cannot turn the Bible. But the devil still work on the media to make us, to make our generation confused about that. The truth is, this generation is so pressed by the idea that they begin to think that everything is normal. And it's not normal. It's not normal. Satan incites persecution against Christians too. The devil does his best to discourage disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ by bringing many kinds of persecution. Revelation 2 verse 10 said, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown." What the Bible says about our spiritual warfare? First, in a spiritual warfare, we are fighting against invisible enemies. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms." Our fight, your fight, is not against that person that you have a bad relationship. Your fight is not against him. Your fight is not against me. If I did something that you didn't like, our fight is against spiritual enemies. You need to be aware about that. In the spiritual warfare, we fight with spiritual weapons. Talk about weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons for our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." It's through our prayers that we can destroy the power of enemy. We need to pray, brothers and sisters. We need to pray for our family. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray. We need to pray. We need to cover each other with prayer. Third, Jesus won once and for all the battle against Satan. The death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection destroyed the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, "The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil." Ephesians 1:20-21 said, "God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and he seated him in his right hand in the heavenly place, for above all rule and authority, in power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come." It's we have with us the power in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be scared, I beg. We don't need to be scared. If a demon or if a spiritual presence come for your house or come in front of you, don't be scared. You just say, "Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm weak, but the name of Jesus not." And he will run away. He will run away. I remember one day I came for the service in Brazil. And I was asleep already, more than 11 o'clock. And somebody called me. And he said, "Pastor, please come to the beach in the area, in my city. What's happened? Somebody is possessed here, a teenager girl." I said, "Oh my word." Okay, I'm a Presbyterian. I don't like really to do this. So, but I drove there. During the way, of course, I said, "God, cover me with your blood. If I have seen anything, just forgive me." I was preparing myself. But it was fun. It was interesting because when I arrived there, the girl was like a beef, a steak just changed time. And I came. And was interesting because never nobody called me like that, but they said, the pastor of the pink belly, no. Yeah, it is. It was exactly what the demon said. The pastor with the pink belly was exactly. I don't know what I have to do that moment. And she was, oh, and said, no, the pastor of the pink belly, no. And I look, I just sit and I pray, and few moments. 10 minutes later, I don't remember. She was okay, and she came to Christ later in the church, and she doesn't remember exactly what's happened later, and she's still in the church. But what I'm saying is, God, Jesus, it's all about Him. And sometimes the devil try to put in your mind that says you. No, it's because you have the power. No, I don't have the power. You go in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Marcus or in the name of Jonathan, but because of the Holy Spirit that seals my heart. And I have this power. I have this power. And much more, I have fellowship with the Holy Spirit and my Lord Jesus Christ. More, this power is expressed through my life. Okay, I not say that you can do everything in your life. You don't pray. You don't read the Bible. You don't have fellowship with Jesus. And the demons come, and some things happen. No, you are weak spiritual. He not taught you, but you don't have the same, because even you start to trust less. Do you understand what I mean? You feel afraid because you know that, oh, I need more fellowship with the Lord. So we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We are now part of the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13-14 say, He has rescued us from the power of darkness. He transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We don't belong more to the devil. We belong to Jesus. And Jesus takes care very well of us. Believe on that. Jesus forgave our sins and triumphed over the devil on the cross. Colossians 2:13-15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed the power and authority, He made public a spectacle of them, triumphant of them by the cross. If you are walking the street, if somebody is possessed, if something has happened, and you try to say, get out in the name of Jesus, and the demon decides to say, ah, do you know, you do this, you lie 1 week ago, you did this, you say, do you know, I'm a sinner, but my sin was forgiven by Jesus Christ. Yes, in the name of Jesus Christ that you get out. This is what I'm talking about. We need our relationship. We need belief. The sin you commit before and the sin that you will still commit tomorrow was already forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need fight against sin. Of course, day by day. As Paul said, I forgot the word in English. I beat myself. It's a war with inside us. But our sin was already forgiven. Fourth and last, almost there. Believers do not need live in fear of Satan's power. Romans 8:38-39 said, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rules, nor things present, no things to come, no powers, no heights, no depth, nor anything else is in our creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The verse I said in the beginning, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only one, God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority to Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. It's all about God. It's he who promised, I will take you to the heaven, and I will help you go there. I will strengthen you. I will. Yes, sometimes you have your downs, but I will be with you all the time. Because you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. And the seal of the Holy Spirit means that one who put the seal is in charge and promised. And he is in charge and he promised that he will arrive there. We don't need to be afraid of the demon. They can make a line. We don't need. What you need is God. What you need is God's presence. Now, last one. Fifth, to stand firm in the spirit warfare, we need to wear the armor of God. And this will be our 6 weeks. For every week, we will study one arm of God, one weapon of God. Every week, you try to go deep. What means? The sword of the spirit. How can we use? So we try this next 6 weeks. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11 say, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Take your stand. It's like you are here and the devil come and you take your stand. I'm here. I don't go anywhere. This is the point. I'm here. I'm a soldier. I'm a spiritual warfare. You can come. I'm here. This is the point. So God said, put the the arm of God and take your stand. Prepare for the war. You are the war. Even if you don't believe, you are in the war. We cannot resist the devil on our own. Only God can guard us, strengthen, and preserve us from the attack of the devil and his angels. We are in a spiritual warfare. And to stand firm, we need the arm of God. We need God in our lives. We can't forget the idea. We don't need to be scared of the demons, the devil, demons. If you have fellowship with God, if you walk with God, God will give you discernment to try to discern, okay, this was something that I did. You ate too much oil yesterday. You get that plof. You know the plof when the rice is go floating on the oil. And the next day, you feel, it's a demon of the plof that came. No, it's not the demon. You ate bad. You ate bad. You understand what I mean? But give you discernment. And when you think about the balance, we need the balance. We cannot be underestimate the God, the demons. We cannot underestimate. He is real. He wants to destroy you. If he could, he wants to kill you. Okay? But on the other hand, we cannot overestimate him and be scared all the time. We need to seek God. We need to put the full arm of God. And this is our challenge of the church. Okay? Let's stand up. Let's pray. And I invite the worship team. Dear Lord, thank you very much. Because it's all about you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that you cover us with your full armor, with the full armor of God. Help us to stand against the devil, the demons, and give us discernment, and give us the power of the Holy Spirit, the courage to really stand firm on our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.